Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah, so welcome to church. So good to see you all this afternoon. My name is Desiree. I'm part of the team here at C3 Camden. Hi online, if you're there, great to have you. Or if you're watching this later on in the week, you're in the right place. So thanks so much to Pastor Ron and Jill and Edwina and Paul for having me speak today. And it's always a privilege and an honor. Stories where we can make it practical, right? We want to make those messages that we read in the Bible, we really want to understand how we can apply them from Monday to Saturday. So these are not just Sunday messages. And who has been enjoying the relationship series recently, the last few weeks before Easter and even Easter? Isn't Easter a relationship story or message in itself, right? And so it's the most important relationship, really, that we do have. But today I would like to share from different scriptures, but really what are the difficult things in relationships? And we've already talked about a few of those, like conflict management and forgiveness. Those are a bit of it's not easy to do, is it? And I want to sort of continue from there, and that's why I'm not sure, Richard, if I'm going to be that lovely and that easygoing this afternoon. Like, oh, I do have a few, like, tough things to share. But when we think about relationships, we think about all different relationships, right? Not just marriage or workplace or friendships, but all of those together. And obviously, the most important, as I said, with God, that's our most important relationship. But when we think about those relationships, who of you has been having difficulties at some stage in your life or even right now with relationships? I think all of us, right, that's always going to be something that we're going to be dealing with because we're not meant to live in isolation, okay? If I can hide under a rock and stay there, and some of us really enjoyed that last year in isolation. Yeah, anyone? Some of you? I sort of enjoyed it, but I also realized, I do like to be around people. But it's difficult. It can be really difficult. And with siblings as such. Some of you might have this, couple of siblings, sisters and brothers, and you grew up and you like learn to fight and learn to, have conflict. Maybe you learned it well, maybe you haven't. I sort of have to learn that with friends or with my cousins, and probably differently to when you learn it with siblings. But I had this one friend, this neighbor. She was a girl 2 years older than I, and she lived across the road from me. Her parents had a restaurant. So I would hang, family were working in the, her parents were working in the restaurant. And so we were quite close. I think from the year I was, I was 3 up until I was 10 or so, we were really close friends. And I was about 5 this one day. I still remember it, and she reminded me later on because, that's how you deal with relationships or not. We were playing, and I did not like her to go home. I really wanted her to stay at my place to keep playing with me, whatever we were doing. I can't remember, but I was really determined, and I got really upset but I remember how I reacted. Oh, so if you think I'm lovely, I'm not doing that anymore, but I literally scratched her face. So I was just so angry and, how dare you go home? And I, looking back at it, it's like, oh my goodness, how could I, But it, when I look at it, I must have been 5 or 6. The emotion that was connected to that and, not stay with me, seriously. And so that is one way of how we can deal with relationships. Is that a good way? Probably not. So thank God I'm not 6 anymore or 5 or whatever because, further on, a couple years later, this is one way. So this is basically an aggressive style of communication when you can call that stuff, that style communication when you scratch someone's face. That's really clear communicating something. So another way of communication, and that's what I'm going to talk about a bit more today, is is what I did when I was 15, where my cousin, again, another close friend of mine, she got in trouble with some other friends of mine. And I'll get to scripture in a moment. Just bear with me with this other story. It's just a great illustration of how not to do in relationships. So my cousin got into trouble with some other friends of mine. And it ended up this huge fight, and I sort of had to decide what side I'm going to be on. And what I decided to do was actually to basically, but I also decided to stay with my cousin and be friends with her, and I totally cut off my other friends. We were close. I was close with those people. I was 15 or so. So, you know, things change in that age anyway. But it was a significant thing for me to do. I did not talk to them whatsoever. I would see them on the street, and I lived in a small village, so you see each other like daily. And I did not talk to them anymore. Okay, so that's what we consider these days as ghosting. Okay, so that is where we just cut someone out of our lives without communicating anything, like without clarifying where we're at, etc. So, as we can tell from those two examples, is those are ways of dealing with relationships. Well, as I said before, thank God I'm not 50. The message is actually how to do the difficult things. Or also how we can one another as a verb. How can we do one another well? How can we do that in a genuine godly way to actually be the one another's for one another. Okay, so one another is a biblical principle, right? If you look into the Bible, there are over 100 verses that include one another in the New Testament alone. So it's a significant concept we need to understand. And what I would like to do now, the goal of this message is actually for you to reflect on what I'm going to be sharing with those scriptures that I'm going to be sharing, and really listen to where God worships. Because we're not older and say, maybe this is something we want to deal with in your relationships. Because we're not doing this series on relationships, so we have another series and we have some, you know, like something to talk about on a Sunday. We're doing this because we feel like God wants to help us to apply those godly principles in our lives. And these are not easy things to do. That's why, you know, like it's not an easy thing to now talk about it. And how do we actually do that properly? You know, that's not my goal. It's actually for us together to now listen to what God wants to do in our lives this afternoon, where he might want to speak to you specifically. That's why I would like to read. I'm going to read 10 scriptures. I know that's a lot, and I'm not going to go into all of them, but I want you to really reflect while I'm reading these, one of these might actually speak to you, and they're very different ones, where you can ask God, okay, what do you want me to do with this? Okay, because again, we're talking about the difficult things today. So what are the difficult things? What is difficult for you? And maybe God wants to show you something this afternoon. So are you with me? Is one another difficult for anyone here? Yes, sort of. No, you're all good. You're all perfect relationships. Awesome. I can go home now. All right, so let's read those scriptures. And as I said, if you want to have a reflective posture, if you want to close your eyes or just pray along with me. So in Romans 12, verse 10, it says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Is that difficult for anyone? I think it can be really difficult to be devoted to one another in love and to honor one another above myself. Romans 15:7, "Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." Accept one another. How difficult is that sometimes? Ephesians 4:2, "Be completely humble and gentle." Ouch. Ephesians 5:21, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." 2 Corinthians 13:12. That's a bit of a funny one, but it says, it's good in the Bible. "Greet one another with a holy kiss." 1 Thessalonians 4:18. "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." encourage one another. Is that difficult sometimes? Sometimes difficult for me. 1 Peter 4:9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Some of us might be really good at that with, you know, offering hospitality, and it's good. But for others, we might be some bit of grumbling with that. Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Philippians 2:5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that's what it all comes down to. What is the mindset of Jesus? We read John 15:12 and 13. He says, "My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends." So that's what it's all coming down to. But I love these other scriptures, because if I just talk about we need to love one another, that's one thing, yes. You know, but there are so many different ways we can show love and we can love one another well. There are different ways, and some of those are in these scriptures. You know, submit to one another. That's showing love. Accept one another. Encourage one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Host each other. So there are beautiful things that we can do. That's how we can love one another well. Or even think of the love languages, right? That's some different ways of how we can do that. And some of these are really difficult for you. Maybe God has already shown you something where he wants to nudge you and say, look, maybe this is something you can do with this person at work. Maybe you can encourage them. Or maybe do you have to maybe check your heart and really accept that one person. Accept who they are, how they behave, how they talk to you. Some of you find those really easy. And that's fine too, right? And some of you might want to fight, or freeze when you hear those things. You know, that really can be really, really challenging. So why can relationships be so difficult? And I love Pastor Edwina talked about in the introduction to this series. She asked us and she challenged us in the way where she asked, where do you need to take some risk in your relationship? And that got me really thinking, because what are things that we're actually challenged with? What are those things that make relationships so difficult? You know, because there are those ways of how we communicate it, and I've mentioned that before. You know, we can react in an aggressive way, or we can list of risks, what could happen, right? Because we want to think of the worst that can happen sometimes to realize, actually, it's not that bad. It's not going to be that bad. If the worst thing that can happen that somebody says, no, I don't want to hang out with you. No, I don't want to be friends with you if you going that way. So, but some of those risks that we are dealing with, that we're challenged with, and there might be more. That's just the list that I came up with. Maybe that's, you know, reflecting something on me, but I'm okay with that because I know that it can be difficult. So rejection, it's a big one. What if they don't want to hang out with me? What if they don't like me? What if they don't like the real me? What if they really, you know, when I really, like when I start opening up to those few friends, I'm not saying half, can we be open and can we be the real me? Can we show that? Or what about our expectations? Those are risks as well. We might have the, you know, different expectations. You might know that in marriage, you know, it can be quite different in how we do expect. And we can get discouraged easily because of our expectations. What if they don't see me the way I see them as a friend? What if they have me on the outer circle? What if I, as a friend, realize actually we're not that close and I can't be that close to you because that's, you know, I have other friends that I'm closer with. It's difficult. What if they don't get me? What if they don't understand me if I really tell them, you know, how I feel, what I think? You withdraw. It's so easy to withdraw and think, I'll just stay superficial with people and just, you know, stay on the outer. What if they didn't? What if they tell me what they really think about me? Are we afraid of honest conversations and honest feedback? What if they drain all my energy? What if I drain all the energy? What if I'm too much? Anyone ever thought that? I've had that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm too much today. Or I'm too much for this person. And, you know, and that's valid sometimes. But then sometimes, like, well, if you're really my friend, if we, you know, if we've sort of walked the journey for a while, you can tell me if I'm too much today. That's okay. And if, you know, and I can tell you if I'm, you know, if you're too much. Or if that's okay, if just, you know, it depends on the day as well. Disagreement. What if we disagree, or what if we have a conflict? Oh my goodness. No. I can't do that. No. Conflict? No. Let's walk away. Let's keep people outside so we don't have to deal with any of the difficult things. So do we want to live like that? Do we want to live like that? And can I encourage you? The big thing about these challenges are these different ways of communication. So it all comes back to how we communicate. Okay, so to do those because we can, well, it has a lot to do with communication. Because we cannot not communicate. We're always going to be communicating something, even if we're withdrawing, even if we're ghosting someone. So that's actually the first style of communication, avoiding. Very passive. It's someone who can't, or it's not raising problems, needs, issues, or concerns, right? Can you share what you need? Can you openly say, okay, you know, this is my concern? It's really important for us to be able to do that. And the extreme thing, I'm coming back to ghosting for a moment, because it is this thing, especially since COVID, it's sort of this bit of even extremer, because it's not, you know, we don't have to go to work anymore. We can just stay at home. We can do church at home. Or we can, you know, it's really the difficult things where it's like, no, let's go back together. Let's go back and hang out again. Let's come to church again. Let's hang out with our friends. Even if it's like I felt when I first came back to church, it's like, even any event, really, it's like, oh, it's so weird to be around people again. And it takes time to encourage to actually come back and have, you know, conversations, to build friendships again, to connect, really connect with each other and not just stay superficial. And look, I'm talking to myself as much as to anyone else here. I haven't totally not perfected that. And it's actually something that I've been working through just recently as well. So it's not easy. But let's not do that. Let's not avoid. Let's not pretend we're all good and we're all fine and superficial. Let's get more real with each other. Not with everyone. I'm not saying that. But let's have those close friends that we can share with, that we can open our hearts with, and not avoid communication. So the second part, the second style of communication is aggressiveness. So I've, you know, that's the face scratching part. It's the extreme part, okay? But obviously, you know, like very seriously, the physical and emotional abuse is a way of communicating, unfortunately, and that is done by people who can't express their needs, their concerns. They're not able to communicate in any other way, either because they haven't learned it or because that's just the way, you know, it's just the easiest way to get aggressive, to be abusive, honest, but not aggressive. The same is true for passive aggressiveness. Who's been guilty of that? I'm not looking. I'm guilty of passive aggressiveness. Gosh, I used to be so, I'm still good at it. I'm truly trying to not to do that. But it's been really something that I've learned in my, like, growing up, because I didn't know how to fight, right? I didn't know how to do relationships well, how to do conflict and all that stuff well. So I learned to be either aggressive, who really expresses their feelings and opinions, because we're still expressing them in an indirect way. For example, by muttering to themselves, you know, like, oh yeah, I can do that, no problem. It's like this, you know, I'm not talking to you, but I'm sort of I'm not talking at you, but I'm talking to you. And it's not really, it's not healthy, and we know that, but how do we do it differently, right? God, help us. Please, God, Holy Spirit, help us to communicate in a better way. because we don't want to be sarcastic with the people we love. We don't want to deny that there's a problem, if there is a problem. We want to be open and honest with each other. So the fourth, so we've had avoiding, aggressive, passive-aggressive, and now, so how can we assertively communicate with each other? It's secure communication, taking into account both the needs of myself. I can voice and I can express what I need and what I feel and what I think, but I can also take into account how that might come across to you, how that might make you feel. I don't like that expression, make you feel, because anyway, it's another story. But it's really important for us to understand, okay, this before assuming. We're so much into assuming. We're assuming way too much about each other. And that's part of the challenge, where we really need to have more conversations and communicate more directly and more assertively. So assertive communication comes from a security and confidence that we have the best in mind for both you, for both me. Because communication starts in our heart, right? Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or the body language speaks, or the facial expression speaks, or the gestures speak. So just, communication comes from the heart, even passive aggressiveness, unfortunately. And we need to ask God, Lord, heal what needs to be healed. Help us to navigate that and deal with different personalities and different perspectives and, different strengths and weaknesses. We need to be aware that communication can actually make or break relationships. And we need to be aware of it, but also know that we can learn this. We can become better at this. And God can help us with this. He wants us, because He wants us to do the difficult things well, to be one another. Before I finish this message, I want to talk about risks for a moment, because coming back to what Pastor Edwina said, that really sort of triggered for me. There's like, oh, these risks, how do you justify, like, I'm taking these risks with relationships where you might reject me, or you might misunderstand me, or you might I might drain your energy or whatever. It's like, what is that? How can you really understand the concept of risk? And funny enough, as I was preparing this message the last few pieces, and I felt a couple of weeks ago where Dave and I, we did a risk tolerance assessment for our financial planner. And basically what that asks you is how risk tolerant are you for your finances? Like, do you want to, invest into shares or this or that or whatever? Don't ask me about the specifics, okay? I'm just taking that as a metaphor, illustration here. But what I really felt like God has been reminding me is the principle might be the same for relationships. So in the financial context, risk is defined as a possibility that you might lose some or all of your original investment. In relationships, that didn't go the way I saw that coming. Okay, so what if is the same in relationships? Because on the other side of risk is a return, right? So in finance, the sort of the principle is the higher the risk, the higher the chance of a good return. And what if that's the same in relationships? What if the higher the risk, and I'm not talking about the wrong relationships, okay? Please, just as a disclaimer, I'm not talking about the really risky, like physically or emotionally abusive relationships, not talking about that at all. I am talking about the relationships where we might have to open our hearts towards people. We might have to think differently, think again. What is my opinion? How do I see our relationship? Maybe let's talk about how are we, how do you see me? How do I see you? And be open to having relationships, being open to having the conversations, and being a bit more real with each other. So may I propose that the higher risk I am willing to take in my relationships, the higher my return. And I have had relationships in my life, and I still have those relationships, where I've taken a risk. I've taken a risk towards that person to step out and have the difficult conversations with those people. I had one friend where we've had a close relationship, we've become really good friends. And then over time I realized, oh my gosh, she's really draining my energy. It's really tough for me. And I've realized that she's not aware of it. And so I could have, what I've done in the past, like, okay, bye, see ya. You know, like, love you, but bye. And I said, no, that's not how I want to do relationships anymore. I want to have those conversations and say, look, I love you, but you're talking a bit much about yourself. And you are, you know, not really, I can barely get a word in. And I've had that relationship with her, and we've had this beautiful relationship, but it's just it's been worth the risk. I could have walked away. You know, it's very similar to taking a risk when you're in a relationship with your spouse when you first started. Well, you took a risk, you know, Dave asking me to go out or something. It was a risk because I could have said no. I wasn't. So, you know, like those kind of risks, obviously that's with dating, it's a bit of a different story again. But with our day-to-day relationships, Mike, if you could come back and play a little, that'd be great. Thank you. So let me ask you, those topics, what are some of the relationships that God has put on your heart today? Maybe there is a person that you're thinking of. It's like, okay, all right, I'll try that again. Or maybe I need to change my mind about someone. Maybe I've got to open my heart towards someone. Where do you feel rejected and need healing? Where have you ghosted someone and need to seek forgiveness? Asking, hey, where are you at? Where are we at? How are we going? It's like, I can feel it myself. It's like, oh, that's difficult. But it's going to be worth it. Yes, there's a risk. It might go, you know, it might go a different way than you expected it. But what if not? What if it's going to go really well and you're going to have a really great relationship with that person? And where do you need to seek God to fulfill expectations that you have placed on others? Because that's another thing where we ask, where we have those, we know we might feel rejected and we might feel, oh, nobody's going to care for me, nobody looks out for me, I'm so alone. That's a real issue that so many people have had, especially since COVID, where we really have this need of, oh, I miss having those close relationships, having those friends around. It's not as easy anymore, but it's not impossible. So I'm asking you, yes, to maybe ask God first, okay, God, what if that is actually unrealistic expectations towards others? And I've been there just recently, where I've just had to actually ask God to fill that need, to fill that void in my heart that nobody else can fill. Dave can't fill it. No friend can fill it. Only God can fill that void. So that's it. If I can ask you to stand. And close your eyes if you don't mind and just reflect on this. What is God saying to you this afternoon? Where do you feel rejected or need healing? Where do you need to ask for forgiveness? Where do you need to clarify expectations? Where can you encourage one another? Where can you learn? How can you learn? Or ask God to learn to communicate more assertively and avoid aggressive communication. Avoid ghosting, avoid avoiding. Be assertive. Stand up for your needs, but also trust God with your relationships. He's putting the right people in your life right now. Most likely you have the right people in your life already. And he wants to fill those needs that you have, that we all have. We all have the need for community and love and relationship and belonging. With Jesus yet, with our best friend. This relationship with God, that he can fill the needs that nobody else can fill right now. And even if you've been a Christian, but you want to ask God to fill that need, that void in your heart. But for those of you that haven't made this decision before, I want to ask you to raise your hand, to acknowledge that you want to make a decision. And if you're online, if you want to make a decision to commit your life to God, to become a Christian, to have a relationship, not a religion, not a have to or should or this or that, but a real relationship, a real open and honest relationship with God, then you can click a link online, but you can raise your hand if you're here in the room. So we want to pray. I want to pray for you all. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you for your presence right now. Thank you that you bring clarity to what just has been spoken, God. Thank you that you are speaking specifically to what we need to hear this afternoon. Thank you that you are in control of our lives and give us boldness and courage to step out and ask people to hang out or to spend time together if that's what we need, or to ask for forgiveness. Give us boldness, give us courage to do those difficult things, to really one another in every single way, God, in all those different ways that there are, God. I pray that you would show us how to love the people around us well, how we can love, how we can pass on the love that you have for them as well, God. May we be filled, as Pastor Jill said earlier, may we really be filled with your love this afternoon and really understand and have a fresh revelation of your love for us, and that we are to pass on this love to one another. That we can communicate both in truth and in love with the people around us, God. Please help us. Please help us. We cannot do this alone. And I pray that those pray with me right now, that you are opening your heart to Jesus right now, that you want to commit your life and turn to God, turn away from what has held you back, but turn your heart and mind towards God and follow him for the rest of your life. I thank you for what you've been doing in this service. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just going to hand back to Pastor Jill. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.